Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You're listening to Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. An Odyssey station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The
Score! This hour is brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their website, 56david.com. That's 56david.com.
Mully and Hall. Live and local. Chicago Sports Talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
The Brewers are a really good team, and they have an excellent manager in Craig Counsell. I think Craig Counsell is one of the best managers in baseball. He's so good, and you look at the way his teams have always performed down the stretch. Man, I'll call it right now. How about an all-Midwest World Series that would warm my Midwestern heart? Brewers and White Sox? Guys, we could see it happen. Drive the World Series. It'd make me very happy.
Oh, yeah, you'd have fans driving back and forth. Absolutely.
Tailgating. True. I mean, tailgating at the World Series in Wisconsin on the south side in October. I would love it.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mark Grody in for Mully today. That was the voice of John Morosi earlier this week with Parkins and Spiegel talking about the, well, if you insist, Mark, the I-94
Stop
war.
Stop it. Stop it.
Brats versus hot dogs.
Ooh, that's better.
Okay.
That's still bad, but
Milwaukee's
better.
Best versus old style.
Ooh, now you're getting, but wait, isn't. No, old style is still brewed here. Yeah,
I think so.
It's our great
beer. Remember, do you associate it with the White Sox?
No, I associate old style with Chicago. Remember Dennis Farina used to do the old style commercials, and he'd say, "It's our great beer, and they can't have
it." He was the Chicagoiest guy ever.
Totally. God rest his soul. Dead.
Yeah.
Sadly.
Why am I? Grody, that's a problem with you. I mean, I'll be talking about something dead serious, and all of a sudden I'll start giggling
and
laughing.
I'm sorry. Carry
on. All right, so regrouping here. Yes. So, yeah, we have a World Series preview potentially in Milwaukee. A lot of White Sox fans will make the trek. I think it's a trip worth making if you're a Sox fan. You get to see them. They've had a special year already. They have had players come through that you didn't expect. One of them unretired yesterday, Yermin Mercedes. He enjoyed April. If you want to talk about that, we could talk about that. 312-644-6767. But I think our time is better spent on what's ahead and what this weekend means. You don't want it to look at – I don't look at it like, okay, the Astros came into to Chicago at Guaranteed Rate Field. Sox had yet to beat them. They are an American League. They're in their way to get to the World Series. You needed that. You needed to make a statement in that series, and the White Sox did. Lost the first game. Dominated the next two, gave up one run in two games, and boy, was that cool. This weekend, I think it's less of a need for a statement. It's just more of a fun of a consideration. The World Series Game 1 starts October 26th. I looked it up because I want to know if it was like 3 months to the day. It's close enough. This could be a preview. This could be a glimpse. And you have Giolito, you have Rodon, and you have Lance Lynn going. And those would be the three pitchers you would see in the first three games of the World Series if the Sox are lucky enough to get there.
And for the Brewers, it'd probably be in a different order, but they have Peralta, Corbin Burns, and Brandon Woodruff going. All of those guys with 2-something ERAs. For me, for the White Sox, it is watching them play quality teams, because I think just from a fan objective standpoint, and I know that's not where Sox fans are coming from, it's entertaining to watch two good baseball teams play baseball against each other. And on the other side of it, I have hated watching the White Sox play dog teams. I hated the series against Baltimore, even against the Twins, even though they split that series and they should have won that series. Minnesota's bad.
But the Twins have taken your lunch money for a long time, and now you're able to, you know, be on the other side of that.
Right.
So you've got to enjoy that if you're a Sox fan just a little bit more than playing the nondescript Orioles.
That's true. I mean, yeah, it is more meaningful playing and beating Minnesota than it is playing the Orioles. But just in general, I don't need any more White Sox Kansas City series, nor Baltimore, nor fill in the blank
snooze fest.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
And right now you want barometers for the White Sox. You want to see them, because they have such a big lead. Yes, they can experiment a little bit. Let's find out if Ryan Burr is good in the late innings. No, he's not. Let's see what Michael Kopech can do.
I like it.
For 40 pitches,
the great Brewtown barometer.
Now we're getting somewhere. Scrap the whole I-94 rivalry, the beer brought rivalry.
A little alliteration.
Yeah. You're getting closer, man.
I'm getting there.
By the end, we got till 9 o'clock to get this right.
Score listener lines powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. That is where we find Austin in Geneva. Good morning, Austin. Welcome to the Score.
Hey, guys. Oh, sorry about that. Yeah. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Every morning.
Sounding great.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm going up on Saturday. I'm looking forward to it. We picked this date out like at the start of the season. My wife and I actually really like the Brewers and the White Sox. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm hoping that like Wong and Yelich and Hira can like actually hit, though, because I think the White Sox are more likely to put points up. But I'm looking forward to seeing like good pitching.
I think you're going to, Austin, thanks to the phone call, and I think you're going to see a pretty quick game. You would think that with the starting pitchers, the caliber of which are as high as they are this weekend, these are going to be some pretty fast games.
Yeah.
Don't mess around.
Then there's the irony, too, that we're all expecting it to be great pitching. Yeah, like, right. We've been building this up for 3 days.
10 to 8, 9 to 7, 6 to 4.
Exactly.
One of those type
Everybody
of things.
Everybody gets hooked in the third inning.
By the way, 630 text in, David, your beer knowledge is lacking. Mm. It's Miller versus Goose Island.
Oh,
I was trying to go old school throwback.
Oh, I appreciate it.
I like a good Miller. Yeah. I like a good Goose Island. Come on.
I mean, come on. Milwaukee's Best has real bits of barley in the beer. Who doesn't want that? You get the barley stuck in your teeth. Yeah.
I mean, come on. That's like you okay.
It's beer pulp.
Might be right, but my beer knowledge might not be what someone else's.
That's probably good in general, that your beer knowledge is not great.
John Morosi is as plugged in and I think as good of a national guy as there is in baseball, even though he's covering the NHL draft tonight. He's very versatile as well.
Crazy.
My point is that when he called Craig Counsell one of the best managers in baseball, I think he's been around such a long time. I would agree with that. And I've always thought that about him. I've always liked Craig Counsell. Do you know where he went to college?
Did he go in Milwaukee or Wisconsin?
No, he's from Milwaukee.
Yeah, he's from
there. But you know where he played college baseball?
Let me guess. Notre Dame?
Yes.
He's
a Domer.
Okay.
He's a Domer. And he played for Pat Murphy, who is his bench coach.
That's very Notre Dame sounding.
Definitely. Pat Murphy is typical. He was as Notre Dame as Rudy in Touchdown Jesus. And he was the baseball coach at Notre Dame. And I got to know him the first when he was – it was like his first head coaching job, I believe – and got to be pretty good friends, and still to this day, all these years later. And he's Counsell's right hand man, right there on the bench. These are two really smart baseball guys, and you see it reflected in the way. And not only smart baseball guys, but what I like about the Brewers, grudgingly for Cubs fans to admit, they have that edge. They seldom take a series, a game, or an inning off, and you're not going to catch them off guard. So as the White Sox prepare to go in there, and maybe less familiar with that sort of level of intensity or insight, against some of these other teams that they've been playing and beating up on.
Yeah.
Brewers mean business almost every time they take the field, and you have to respect that. And to me, that says a lot about the type of manager that Craig Counsell has been for them.
Well, yeah, and I know he has the luxury of having three terrific starting pitchers, but they ain't hitting. You know, I mean, their MVP Yelich has really not been a huge factor this year. That means that you have to do more managing when you are just dealing with pitching. He's got to know when to get his guys out, who to put in, and you do have a couple of really outstanding relievers in that bullpen. It wasn't Counsell. I want to say he was one of the first managers to use the quote-unquote opener, where you have a starting pitcher go one or two innings. I don't remember.
Maybe in the National League, Mark. I think that Tampa Bay.
It was Tampa Bay.
Was maybe the beginning of the opener.
Yeah, I think it was more loud with Counsell because he used it in the postseason. I don't know if Tampa Bay did or not, but you're right. You're right. That was
630 reminds us that the Craig Counsell story includes the nugget that he was a Brewers bat boy.
Oh, okay.
So that's a little bit. And he also had one of the more unique modern-day batting stances when he was a shortstop for
the Cobra. Wasn't that really crazy?
Yeah. They extended the hands and then they came down. A lot of noise, as they say.
Weird for a light hitting guy too. You know what I mean? Like he had like the, remember John Kruk? He kind of had that stance too, where he held the bat high over his head. But then again, Kruk didn't have much power either. He was a terrific hitter. But yeah, Craig Counsell, doesn't he also have the distinction of having scored the go ahead run twice in World Series?
He's a winner. Would it be for the Marlins and the Diamondbacks?
And for the Diamondbacks, yep. Yeah.
That's a pretty good distinction to have. He's a winner, and he's a gamer, and his Brewers kind of teams always reflect that. His batting stance kind of brings to mind. Do you remember, like, who was your favorite Cub player to imitate their batting stance as a kid?
If you really want this answer, because
everyone's got their sort of frame of reference when they hear like crazy batting stances, and I think of mine, and then what's yours?
Mel Hall.
Oh yeah, the open stance.
Oh, I love the
Mel. Like he opened it up way wide.
Yeah, yes.
But he was lefty. Were you a left-handed hitter?
No, but I love lefty. I'm a right-handed hitter, and
but you were slow.
But I was slow. But
you were deceptively fast. You had deceptive speed. You were slower than you looked.
Here's the problem with me in my high school baseball career. I was slow and also like skinny, so I was light hitting. I was a light hitting infielder without speed. That doesn't get you very far.
No. Do you remember a player played center field for the Cubs way back, I think maybe late 70s, early 80s, Jerry Morales.
Oh, yeah, of course.
He had a very distinct batting stance.
Yes.
And I used to love to try to perfect Jerry Morales. Now, he was also the guy with the basket catch.
Uh-huh.
Wasn't he one of the first center fielders with the basket catch? The very casual basket catch. It always worried me. And you didn't want, hey, for all you young little leaguers at home, don't catch the ball like that. Uh-huh. You want to have it up here, not down here. But him at the plate, I just always tried to mimic that. Until I realized, okay, that's not a really good batting stance to mimic. It was a little too rigid.
Yeah. Yeah, some of those were. I think, do you remember, I know you remember Ivan De Jesus.
Number 11.
Yeah, he had a very intense stance at the plate. And yeah,
he was chopping wood.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was hardcore.
Not fluid.
No.
Did not seem very fluid at all.
No, and a light hitting player. But that's when shortstops were allowed to hit 220.
My favorite batting stance wasn't a Cub. I would try to, when I was in high school, when I was a slow infielder like you were.
You didn't have speed? I thought you had speed.
I don't know.
Come on, man. Didn't you play like secondary at Ball State?
Yeah.
You had speed. Yeah. Don't be modest.
I was a safety. If I had speed, I'd have played corner.
Okay. Fair enough.
And I probably wouldn't have gone to grad school. All right. So that was my you're going to grad school. The NFL dream is dead moment on national television. But we digress.
Yes.
George Brett was the batting stance that I wanted and mimicked in high school because he had that sort of lean back. I thought I was the coolest right-handed version of George Brett because I had the bat tilt a little bit, and I just thought I could see the ball better even though I didn't know what I was watching.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay, if we're going to go beyond like the Cubs and the Sox, my favorite – there's two – Willie Stargell, because he had that little exercise
he did. That was fun.
Yeah, yeah, like I was like, what are you doing, man? I don't know what that is.
That was mine.
Right?
That was Dustin. Really?
Was mine, yeah.
Stargell.
Like third grade, like the first year you played fast pitch baseball, I think it was third grade, and the Pirates were doing halfway decent at that point. My dad had been a fan. I was a little before my time really paying attention.
Yeah.
But I was on the Pirates. So so it's kind of like baseball bunch. They'd show a lot of Willie Stargell and stuff like that.
Did your uniforms, were they black and yellow?
They were yellow and black. I also at that time really liked the Sting. I was actually a big soccer guy back then.
Karl-Heinz Grenitzia,
so,
baby.
Yeah, Karl-Heinz Grenitzia, the whole Pata Marjevic, the whole
You were
whole
a
group.
Big soccer guy back in the day.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I was at Comiskey when they beat the San Diego. I'd have to get less.
The Monarchs.
The San Diego Somebodies to win the like outdoor MLS championship. And I think they followed it up with a indoor, at least trip to the finals, maybe not a championship, but they won the outdoor at the old Comiskey Park.
I did not realize you were that big of a soccer guy.
Yeah,
that's great Dustin trivia.
It's a whole new avenue.
All right, so the Willie Stargell thing, though, would you swing for the fences to try to hit the ball like Willie would hit the long home run?
I was absolutely, positively the worst little league baseball. I only played because all my buddies played. And that was back then, that was like the sport. It was the only sport that went on all the time. Elmhurst North Baseball, and everybody play. That's the only reason I was part of
it. You know, the other badass stance in the league was Joe Morgan.
Oh, yeah.
He would do that little wrist thing where he would...
He would do the hitch.
Yeah,
he would hitch. I hated the hitch.
You didn't like the hitch?
I didn't. You know, I respected the Big Red Machine, but Joe Morgan, I thought that was like a very strange thing to do, and I thought, here's why I didn't like the hitch.
Okay.
You're an MVP in Joe Morgan. You're like at the top of your profession. What do you need a reminder for? Because everybody, every time he would do that, the announcer would say, well, he's doing his reminder to keep his elbow in when he
Oh, is that what it was?
I think it was. Okay. I'm like, I always felt like, why do you need a reminder? You're Joe Morgan.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's how he became Joe Morgan. And so he stayed Joe Morgan by having the hitch.
Getting a lot of input from the text line. Former White Sox Kevin Youkilis.
I don't remember his stance, to be honest.
I remember Mike Hargrove being the human rain delay. And he would take forever to get into the box, a former Indian first baseman. And so there was a time where I felt like I needed to be like that. Uh-huh. I thought that was cool. Because, look, Mike Hargrove's taking all his time getting into the batter. I think I'm gonna adjust my batting glove. Because I had the two batting gloves going, you know.
Alfonso Soriano did that too.
You just said take your time. Oh, wait, they're going to wait for me to get into the box because they can't pitch until I'm there.
Take your time.
So I like the human rain delay.
There's also somebody saying George Hendricks. And yeah, George Hendricks had a standing straight up, like there was really nothing to it. He just stood there. I think he had his left foot slightly out, but there was nothing to it, really. It was just him standing there with his pants legs all the way like down to the bottom.
You know who the best one, though, was? He looked like he was taking a nap on a hammock, as comfortable as you could possibly be. And he was so good of a hitter. Rod Carew.
Oh, yeah.
Rod Carew's stance was the most comfortable batting stance that I think I've ever seen.
Just a little, like, twitch. I can't describe it. It's hard.
He had it. So all he did to do with the bat was flick his wrist, and he made contact, and boom, there's another double.
Grody, you didn't let Dustin finish his Little League story. Did I not let you finish your Little League story?
I was more than done embarrassing myself.
Okay. I wasn't sure.
I always tell the story. I run into a guy at a bar in Elmhurst. It's been a while with COVID and everything. I hope he's okay, but he's a big listener. So if he's listening right now, he'll get a kick out of it.
That's
so
him.
He was the neighbor of a family. So when we moved to fourth grade, right, now we got still fast pitch, first year fast pitch. So a third grade girl was like striking out all the fourth grade boys, and like her old man be behind the dugout with a heater in his mouth watching, you know, with his hand in the fence, like behind.
No and son of mine.
Like, no. His daughter is striking out.
Oh, it's his
daughter.
Okay. I thought he had a son. Okay.
So all these fourth grade boys are like slamming their bat into the ground and whipping their bats because this girl is striking us out. And I kept saying, when do I get to go by the park by my house and get to hit off the girls when they throw the underhand softball pitch and launch one into the creek?
Of course.
Then I'll run around the base. Is like Babe Ruth and tip my cap. I mean, what is going on? Go strike out the girls. Leave me alone.
That sounds like a great plot for an 80s movie.
Yeah, it does.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Wonder Years. It's an episode of The Wonder,
the Wonder
totally,
Years.
Totally.
Dustin Rhodes starring, also known as. All right, that's a lot of fun. We will talk more about batting stances or whatever you want. 312-644-6767, including this weekend's a very special one for someone whose voice you know well and whose presence you still miss. We'll talk about that next on Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Call your sons, call your daughters, call your friends, call your neighbors. Mark Burley has a perfect game going to the ninth. That ball hit deep in the left center field. Wise back. Makes the catch!
What a play!
Wade Wise makes the catch! What a play by Wise! Mercy! A great catch by Dwayne Wise.
It's unbelievable as Wise goes back into the wall knowing he has no room to spare. He goes up over the wall and then juggles it before corralling it. What a play by Wise.
Under the circumstances, one of the greatest catches I have ever seen in 50 years in this game. Alexei! Yes! 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 History! A perfect game by Mark Burley, and what an unbelievable play by Dwayne Wise.
What an unbelievable call by Ken Hawk Harrelson. Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score. Mark Grody in for Molly today. That was 12 years ago today. Wow. 12 years ago today, Mark Burley's perfect game at U.S. Cellular Field at the time, now Guaranteed Rate Field. Of course, Ken Hawk Harrelson, Hawk, to everyone who knows and loves him, called it in a way that only he can. And this is a special weekend for Hawk, Mark, because he is going in officially now to the Cooperstown Baseball Hall of Fame. He's getting his moment. He's a 2020 recipient of the Ford Frick Award, and he is going to be taping, I believe, a television-only event today. He sent his regrets. We asked him to come on the program. He's doing right now a pre-show meeting this morning because they're getting ready to tape this show that will be Sunday at 11 a.m. on MLB Network. But Hawk goes in as a Hall of Fame broadcaster. And now this is a special moment for him. And we wish him well because this was a long time coming. It means so much to him. We have talked to him about it before. But now he's going to be surrounded by his three grandsons, 20 other family members in Cooperstown where he belongs.
Absolutely. And you hear it a lot about broadcasters, I think, now more than in the past, where the word, and I know broadcasters cringe when they hear this, but cookie cutter broadcasters, like a dime a dozen. They're all very competent, very good, but there's not a lot of distinction. You know, Hawk Harrelson is the anti-cookie cutter. You know, a little bit too homer, I think, for some people. But the Sox, I think the Sox needed that, like, kind of the us against them mentality that he personified so well. He was not a cookie. And for that matter, it's a different discussion. Jason Benetti, not a cookie cutter either. You know, these guys are, they do it differently. But Hawk personified that. He personified the White Sox fan, the we hate the Cubs, the, you know, stay out of White Sox business. Hawk Harrelson carried that message really strong for a lot of years and has now found his way to the Hawk of Fame.
The yeah. Hawk of See? Fame. There you go, Mark Grody.
There I am.
All right. Well, you know what? No. You're going to poo-poo my I-94 war. I'm not going to just jump on Hawk of Fame because you said it.
Hey, I give you credit on the beer rivalry.
All right, yeah, thank you very much. I'll let it kind of sink in a little bit, wash over me. I think that Hawk is authentic, in it, whether you like him, love him, or hate him. And we know people who fit into all three categories.
Great word, authentic.
He is who he is, unapologetically.
Yes.
That's what I always respected about him. I didn't know him very well until I came to town about 18 years ago. And then the first time I can remember doing something Sox related, doing something where I needed a voice, writing something when I was writing for the Tribune and going to the park because, you know, I was covering the Bears at the time and it was the off season. And I remember him inviting me into, you know, the booth and before the game, just having this disarming sense of humor and personality and having as much time as I needed. He wasn't one of these guys we've all interviewed or talked to where he's answering questions, but he's thinking about something else,
right?
Looking, making eye contact with someone else, staring off into the distance. With Hawk, I've always appreciated the fact that he had such a huge presence, but he was always present with you as an interviewer or just as a friend or just talking baseball. And he was who he was. And even if you disagreed, because if you know Hawk well, you're going to have disagreements with him, and he's not going to be afraid to tell you that. But that was part of the beauty of having a relationship with Hawk Harrelson, because you knew where you stood all the time.
Burns and Borstein. That would be symbol number one in terms of that. The first time I met Hawk was on an elevator at U.S. Cellular Field, then covering the White Sox back in the day. I was on the elevator. I introduced, hey, I'm Mark Grody. I work for WBBM, which I did at the time. Just wanted to introduce myself. And he says, Mark Grody. He goes, WBBM? I go, yeah. He goes, that's my favorite radio station. I go, that's great. That's great. So, yeah.
Well, you know why?
Why?
Probably because traffic on the H.
Absolutely.
When he was driving back and forth from Granger to the south side,
yeah,
he probably wanted to know the quickest way and how long it was going to take him to get to the Skyway. So
let me tell you about Pat Cassidy.
Let me tell you.
He's one traffic of the best broadcasters of all time.
I like that Jeff Joniak.
Felicia Middlebrooks.
Mercy.
Oh, put it on the board.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Traffic, weather, gather. That's my favorite.
44th winner of the Frick Award, Ken Hawk Harrelson. He left the booth after the 2018 season. Also, other Sox broadcasters in the hall. I guess he's also a Cub broadcaster, known by many people as a voice of the Cubs. Jack Brickhouse,
oh, yeah.
Obviously, he's in the hall. Harry Carey, Bob Elson, and Milo Hamilton.
Milo, Holy Toledo.
You remember Milo?
I do remember him with the Cubs, Holy Toledo. That was his thing. And I was always like, because I was too young to really care or understand like why he left, but I guess it was Harry Carey. That was the reason that he left, because those two egos could not exist in one place.
But
I was like,
it's not an I guess.
It is. That is
it's
factual.
Not I think. It's not an I guess.
Yeah.
It is.
He hated Harry Carey, and apparently vice versa. It was true. But I was like Milo when he was with the Cubs.
Yeah, I think so. In Milo, definitely unique. I didn't have as much of a connection with him as others.
Yeah, he was a little bit of the cheese. You know what I mean? Hey, it's Milo Hamilton, Holy Toledo, that kind of thing. A little bit more than some of the characters that would exist after, or you know, because I think some of us like who grew up on Jack Brickhouse and then more over Harry Carey, like
and the good kid,
person.
Don't forget about the good
Lou
kid,
Boudreaux,
oh,
baby,
yeah.
Lou Boudreaux.
I mean, underrated, right?
For all you youngsters,
as a broadcaster in this town,
I think so. He was, but for all you youngsters before Steve Stone was, for all you youngsters out there, Lou Boudreaux. He's one of the like helped to teach me baseball.
Just seemed like one of the kindest men you could ever want to meet.
Oh, Lou Boudreaux, yeah. he was him. Who was the other guy?
Vince Lloyd.
Vince Lloyd. Thank
Come
you.
Come on, Radio
I'm
Maven.
Sorry. I'm
How
sorry.
Could you forget Vince Lloyd? Just for momentary lapse.
Yeah,
okay, I
had the first name. Come on, I would have come up with it.
So I'm looking forward to speaking of broadcasting legends. Hawk talked in the Sun-Times article today about his speech going to take some digs at Bob Uecker. That will be fun.
Oh yeah.
That will be fun because.
Tell you about Bob Uecker.
Bob Uecker still doing games at his age.
Uh-huh.
Unbelievable that he's still, I think, in his
80s.
Late 80s.
Late 80s.
Perhaps.
Oh.
I think anything over 85 would be late 80s, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
I think they'll have to do the Google quick search, yeah. But I think he's over 85.
He's ageless.
So I think that Hawk said he's going to get after Bob Uecker a little
that'll
bit.
That'll be fun. That'll be fun.
Speaking of fun, let's go to the Score listener line powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today. Visit BetQL.com. Tim is in Woodstock. Good morning, Tim. Welcome to the Score.
Hey, thank you, guys. Good morning. I just wanted to chime in on batting stances. When I was in Little League, I tried to emulate the Penguin to say, hey, kid, run
uh-huh.
play.
Yeah.
He had quite a stance.
Yeah, he kind of had his legs were spread out, if I remember correctly, the bat high over his head, and he always looked, well, because he was short and stubby, he did look like a penguin.
He did. Thanks for the phone call. I cringed only a little bit, not because of the Ron Say mention, but Ron Say was not the Say Hey Kid. That's Willie Mays.
Right.
Yeah,
absolutely. Oh, yeah. No, he was far.
We didn't call Ron Say the Say Hey Kid. He's the Penguin.
No, I don't know if they did what they did in Los Angeles when he was a Dodger.
No,
where that was where his real career was. But hey, man, he was a big part of the 1984 Cubs. Was Ron Say?
Ron Say? Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Huge. I mean, he was aging, but and everybody aged out. It seems like after that year, except for Ryan Sandberg. But Ron Say was a huge. I mean, he hit like 25 homers that year, probably.
That wasn't the best batting stance on that team, though. I don't think 84.
Let's think about this. Let's think about who it was.
I used to try to mimic Rhino at the plate. When I wasn't George Brett, you know, because I would change. I was one of those high school baseball hitters that would change his stance like every week.
I didn't like Ryan Sandberg's stance.
I did. You know why? Because if I ever was in a slump and I wanted to just get back to the basics.
Okay, because that's what it was. Very basic.
It was back to the basics.
Yes.
I figured Ryan Sandberg is going to show me how to hit. I'm going to do it this way. Because
yeah.
I love baseball. I love baseball more than any sport. And I was always trying to, I always thought I was going to be Ryan Sandberg, right?
Yeah.
So whenever I was struggling, I would go back to the Rhino stance.
Yeah. No, that's true. It was a very basic, probably, you know, correct stance. I think Sarge, Gary Matthews, had a pretty intense stance. He had the bat flicking at the top usually. So I would put him down as one of those
guys.
How
about Kingman?
Kingman. Oh, yeah. Well,
Dave,
oh my God.
Kingman.
Now you're touching my soul because he is still like, Like, think about it. I was very young when he played, a kid. A guy like that, like bigger than life, hitting home runs like that, tall dude, like I love. Like to this
hitting
day,
them on a wavelength, yeah. And kind of seeming, again, from a kid standpoint, not having – I've never had an experience in person with Dave Kingman as a media member.
The bad guy.
Well, that's what I hear
right.
From your guy Les.
Broke my heart and when others. Les told me that. I was like,
I know.
I don't want to hear
it. I don't want to hear it. Like, nah, nah, nah. That's noise. To me, he's number 10 that hits the
number
ball
10.
A country mile.
Yeah, all due respect hey, to Ron hey. Santo, Dave Kingman is always
he
number
10 to me. He was the first number 10 to me.
Totally. Oh, you and I, man.
Yeah,
totally.
I know. Well, that's in my wheelhouse, that kind of Cub
yes,
era
same.
Where you kind of fall in love with the idea. I remember where I was in 84 when they lost to the Padres. And,
oh, God, heartbreaking. Yeah. I was on vacation with my family, and we were having this – I think we were at somewhere like Turkey Run, Indiana, to have vacation.
It was on a Sunday, right?
Yeah, with another family. My parents bought like champagne, and we were swimming in the pool, and then they broke everybody's hearts.
It was a Sunday.
It was a Sunday.
I was watching.
Sunday, bloody Sunday.
I was working in my job. I was a teenage disc jockey at WKVI. I've talked about it before.
Hee-haw.
And I was watching. I was watching the game on a black and white television in the studio, and it was hard for me to do my job as I was watching the Cubs break my heart.
My God, for all you youngsters out there, the Cubs won the
thank
first
God
two
I had,
games.
Yeah, I know, but thank
series.
God I had country music to kind of drown, you know, perfect tone to set.
Oh,
like, you know.
That's when country music was country music.
That's right, Ronnie Millsap.
Beer. Yeah.
Coming up after the break, we have Lee Greenwood.
Do more. I want to hear more.
Lee Greenwood was good of the day.
Willie
Ronnie
Nelson, right?
You know, there was a little Willie Nelson.
Okay.
That's not how I became a country music fan, I don't think, though, because there wasn't a lot of – I liked the mellow country. I think back in those days, that was pre-Martina McBride even.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I just said, oh, wow, and I don't know who Martina McBride is.
Come on.
I've heard the name. No, more like Bake McBride. I remember him.
Bake McBride.
Phillies.
Now, there was a batting stance,
yes,
right?
Yes.
That
yes.
was a good batting stance, Bake McBride.
Yeah.
All right. We are getting out of hand
no,
here.
No, we're
Grody.
Not. It's perfect.
We're kind of veering off course here because we have a World Series preview that we have to, or a glimpse of the World Series possibility.
You have predicted it. No, you predicted it. Yes.
And what a week in Milwaukee this has been. They have crowned an NBA champion, staged a parade, and this weekend there's going to be a potential World Series preview. All the while, they're waiting for Aaron Rodgers to make up his mind. Great time to be a sports fan in Milwaukee. And that's where we will go next. We will talk to our guy, Tim Allen, at 1250 The Fan in Milwaukee when we come back. Mullenhaw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
There's Christian Yelich setting one deep to center field. There you go. It is gone. Christian Yelich over the wall in center field. We talked about it last night, his work in the late innings. Maybe that'll get him going. And a home run for Yelich, his sixth of the year.
Yeah, his first home run for Yelich since the end of June.
Mullenhaw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mark Grody in for Mully. Thank you to Valley Sports Wisconsin for the highlight on the Christian Yelich home run from last Sunday. It's time now to go out to the Home Run In hotline. Try your pizza on the grill this summer. Visit homerunin.com for unique grilling recipes and much more. And that is where we find Tim Allen from 1250 The Fan, also does the Brewers post game as the host. Good morning, Tim. How are you?
More important, how you guys are doing.
That is a very important question.
We're doing well.
Yeah,
we are
fine.
Anxious with anticipation here, awaiting the White Sox Brewers series. But first, before we get there, this is going to be a fun weekend. You already have had so much happen in Milwaukee this week. How does it compare in terms of sports weeks in your city? Because I can't imagine it gets much better than this.
Oh, man, it is a long time coming. And, you know, we deal with up here in Wisconsin, a lot of people waiting for the shoe to drop, if you will. I call them the doom and gloomers. They're, no matter what happens, there's this faction of fans that will say, you know, don't get your hopes up. They're just going to break your heart at the end. Well, you know what? That's kind of what sports is. There's only one team that gets to win it all. Why not enjoy the journey? And this journey on this Bucks ride has been truly amazing. It just has done a lot for the city and done a lot for those doom and gloomers, guys. It has. It proves it can be done. It proves that a smaller market, because, you know, let's face it, it is. They can get it done. It doesn't have to be a super team. It can be just, you know, done with some smarts and some you know, tactical moves. And it's been amazing. And now I wonder, as you said, the transition here into the Brewers now, and if they can keep this up, well, maybe that momentum can just continue on all the way into October, maybe even early November.
All right. So then, Tim, for the doom and gloomers that exist for the Milwaukee Brewers and waiting for the other shoe to drop, as you put it, what is that shoe with the Milwaukee Brewers? Where is the, yeah, they're riding high, but you know what? They can't sustain it because of what?
It's the offense. And you played the Yelly highlight right there. And I'm not going to pin all of this offense on Yelly. It is, as you guys know, kind of a major league wide sort of half these guys that for whatever reason, I don't know if they were taken off course by the pandemic, the shutdown, and then the subsequent, you know, 60 game schedule. I don't know what it is, but it is going to be this offense here. The pitching is there. Now there still has to be some moves made in that bullpen, but you know, it is the hitting, and Yelich and Keston Hira were pivotal parts in this thing. I mean, you're seeing some of these other guys, Wong and Adames and Avi Garcia, you know, pull their weight. Yelly, not so much. Yeah, is he getting on base? Of course he is, and everyone's going to point to that. Everybody's going to point to, you know, the league-wide offense being down. I'm going to point to this with Christian Yelich. That's not what he is. He is a game changer. He's a get on my shoulders, I'll carry you through this series here, or a homestand, or a road trip. Just haven't seen it, guys. We haven't seen it since the kneecap was shattered down in Miami back in late 2019. And I don't know if there's another story here, and I'm not the story breaker. That's not my world. But there has to be something here. I mean, there are no big three-run home runs. There's no bases-clearing doubles. Game-changing swings, they're gone, guys. And I can't put my finger on it. That's going to be the Achilles heel, is this offense. And we saw it in Cincinnati over the weekend. Hey, that's Great American Ballpark. Yeah, they put up a ton of runs. Then the next two games against Kansas City, 20 games under 500, they scuffle to get a rally going. They come up with one of the games. They come up with a two-run single from a backup catcher, and they can't get it done. So that it's the offense is going to tell the story.
Talking with Tim Allen, the Brewers postgame host on 1250 AM, The Fan in Milwaukee. And to your point, Tim, the Brewers hitting .223 collectively as a team, the worst in the National League, and yet here they are in first place. There they are, 15 games over 500, and they have been that team since, I think, May. And as teams wait to make the big trade before the deadline next Friday to get that element that they need the most, teams like the White Sox, other teams in baseball, the Brewers already made that deal. How would you describe the impact Willy Adames has had since being brought over from the Rays in May?
May 22nd, they are 35-18. That's the day they acquired Willy Adames. And that is a win now trade for President David Stearns and Matt Arnold, the GM. 35-18, that's a good clip. And there's just energy there, and there's just chemistry there. And now that's a win. I said it's a win now. They gave up a couple of good young arms in FireEisen and Drew Rasmussen. And I'm really high on Drew Rasmussen. So talk to me in a year or two when Rasmussen might be, you know, donning an all-star jersey. But for now, it's been amazing for Willie. And he seems to fit right in with this sort of, you know, fun-loving, you know, the who cares kind of team. It's been an amazing run, and that may be the saving grace here. There will be some more moves. I'd be shocked, guys, if Milwaukee made a move for a bat. I think there will be an incoming bullpen arm or two to replace the two that just left. But hey, you talk about pitching, and they're set. I mean, look at the White Sox too. I was looking at these ERAs this morning.
Yeah.
This series here, wow. I mean, you're looking at a 3.9 versus a 3.3 tonight, a 2.1 versus 2.1 tomorrow, then a 2.0 versus 1.8 on Sunday night. This is cool. This may be a little bit of a preview. Well, wishful thinking, maybe.
Not for the doom and gloomers. Not for the doomers.
No.
Yeah. Speaking of that, I want to go back to something on Christian Yelich, because you were saying that it's sort of a mystery as to where it went. Like, where's the big three-run homer? And I know you said, I respect that you said that you're not the story breaker, but what is there speculation as to what's going on with him that this drop-off has occurred?
You know, and Mark, in following, you know, every pitch of this baseball team, I mean, literally every single pitch, the people will come to me, callers, whatever, they will say, you know, it's got to be his back. You know, he's had these bouts of back soreness, and it landed him on the IL a couple of times this year. And I have to refute that, because we watch every pitch of every game. Dude's running around stealing bases. Dude is diving onto the track. He's crow hopping and letting it fly on a play at the plate. He's running full speed into the gap. There are no, in my estimation, it's not a health thing. I'd be shocked if it were a health thing. And Christian Yelich's response is, it's just baseball. It's just baseball. It's just baseball. Well, dude, you're getting paid over $200 million. Okay, you're on bases 400. I get it. It's cool. And it seems like I'm getting down on Yelich. And I don't want to. I'm a huge Brewers fan. But you got to call it what it is. And I can't figure, again, if it's an injury issue, I'd be really surprised. I think mentally this game can really get to you. And, you know, it does test you. It humbles you. There's some futility involved. There's some, you know, a bunch of failure involved, and maybe that's just it. Maybe this is his first bout of, you know, I kind of suck right now. Yeah, I'm drawing a bunch of walks, but that three-run homer is missing. That walk-off, you know, two-run shot in the ninth, that's missing, and we're used to that with Yelly. It's, Craig Counsell was asked the other day, you know, what's up with Yelly, and he, you know, gets peppered with these questions. His immediate response was, we're a good baseball team, and he's a part of it. I don't, you know, we read between the lines there. That's a little protective comment. So I'm not sure. It's got to be the mental thing, guys. If I had to guess, it's a mental challenge for him.
Tim, before we let you go, a lot of angles to this series, but not to be lost in is that Avi Garcia is a player that the White Sox fans remember well. Had an all-star season in 2017. Obviously, he went on to the Rays, and now he's with the Brewers, having a really solid year. How would you describe his role on this team and how surprised you are the season he's having?
And not surprising to me. Now, I know that it was surprising last year that, you know, guys like Avi and guys like Omar Narvaez, you flip their baseball card over and you see these numbers, and where the hell are they? I mean, you know, they come into Milwaukee. Okay, pandemic takes care of that. I told our listeners that you can rest assured Avi's very good baseball player, and it's coming to fruition now. Very impressive. I didn't have much experience in his work prior to him being acquired by Milwaukee. So I didn't know what type of player he is. Kind of a five-tool guy, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty impressive. I like watching him play. Counsell does baby cake him a little bit. In terms of days off and really trying to keep him healthy. And maybe that a lot of managers are doing that this year just because, you know, it's elevated from 60 to 162. But Very impressive with Avi, and I'm pretty impressed with the White Sox. They got on my radar last year, if you recall. There was a four game set, 2-2.
Yep.
And I'm like, whoa, White Sox got something cooking here. And despite the injuries, Robert and Jimenez and these guys all beat up, but man, they're pretty good. Best record in the AL.
Tim, have a great time this weekend. Enjoy the series and enjoy the White Sox taking 2 out of 3 for the Brewers.
And don't get too down on Yelly now. Yeah.
Don't be a doom and gloomer.
Come on. Yeah. You want to bet it? Hit the BetQL.
Oh!
I'm out of this, David. Go ahead.
Goose Island versus Miller. How about that?
Deal.
Okay, deal. Tim Allen, thank you very much. Enjoy the series at AmFam.
My pleasure, guys.
Our pleasure.
1250 The Fan in Milwaukee. What a week. Good guy. Fun guy.
Oh, I love him. Yelly. It's all about, hey, man, don't Yelly. Get too down on Yelly. Yelly.
First home run for Yelly since the end of June.
Yelly? Well, no, I love Tim.
What do you expect, Yelly, when Craig Council's baby caking him? I mean.
Tim Allen uses awesome phraseology,
that was awesome.
Doesn't he?
Yeah, and we are going to use some awesome phrases for the awesome follow during an awesome transition. Dan and Layla next.
Oh, dancing. Yes.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.